from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. President Widodo signs a regulation on safety security of president and vice presidential candidates. Indonesia urged to utilize its seats at UNSC to end Rohingya crisis. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane.
Indonesian President Joko Widodo has signed a presidential regulation, Perpres number 85 of 2018, concerning the safety and security of prospective presidential and vice presidential candidates in the implementation of general elections. According to the presidential regulation, candidates for president and vice president need professional security and escort from the date of stipulation up to the announcement of candidates for president and vice president elect by the General Election Commission KPU. The safeguards and escort of candidates are carried out by the National Police of the Republic of Indonesia, according to the Article 2, Paragraph 2 of the Presidential Regulation signed by the President as of September 19, 2018. The safeguarding and escort of candidates, according to the Presidential Regulation, is carried out right from the time of the announcement of the candidate pairs till the stipulation of the elected candidate for president and vice president. This regulation stipulates that the safeguarding of candidates includes the candidate's personality, wife or husband of a candidate, residence and lodging used by candidates, place of activities, events and other installation attended by candidates, food and medical needs, and vehicles used by candidates. President Joko Widodo is targeting to distribute 3 million hectares of land to the community through this year's social forestry activities. The president said in Jakarta on Thursday that he had asked the Minister of Environment and Forestry for 4.3 million hectares, but was offered only 3 million. President Jokowi noted in his official address at the opening of the National Consultation on Agrarian Reform and the 2018 Global Land Forum at the State Palace that national forestry was part of the agrarian reform that has become the government's concern to be resolved. He also remarked that the certificate-giving program was also an agrarian reform that was still being carried out. President Jokowi said, of the 126 million hectares of land in Indonesia, only 43.5 million were certified, so there were still 82.5 million lands that had not been certified. The government targets to complete 7 million land certificates this year, and by 2019, it can reach 9 million land certificates. Jokowi requested that certificates and concessions to the community, including indigenous people and individuals, be productive. Jokowi stressed that Indonesia was a great nation because it had 17,000 islands, but the distribution of its lands was still considered unfair. The Coalition of Indonesian Civil Society Organizations urged the government to utilize Indonesia's position on as non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, UNSC, to have put an end to the humanitarian crisis against Rohingya people in Myanmar. The statement was made by Fatia Maulidianti from the Commission for Missing Persons and Victims of Violence, CONTRAS, during a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday. UN Fact-Finding Mission on Myanmar reported at least 319 villages to have been destroyed by the Myanmar army. The report also confirms the attacks, extrajudicial killings, deprivation of arbitrary freedom, and forced disappearances, destruction of property and looting, torture and inhuman treatment, rape and other forms of sexual violence against the Rohingya people. The attacks have forcibly evicted more than 700,000 Rohingyas from Myanmar. For this reason, the Coalition of Indonesian Civil Society Organizations called on the government of Indonesia to be more proactive in playing a role as the non-permanent member of the UNSC for 2019-2020 period to help resolve the humanitarian disasters. In the recommendation of the UN fact-finding mission report on Myanmar, it was stated that UNSC must ensure accountability for crimes under international law carried out in Myanmar. Indonesian General Election Commission KPU has appointed Joko Widodo, Ma'ruf Amin, and Prabowo Subianto Sandiaga Uno as presidential candidate pairs competing in the 2019 presidential election. This determination was made after the KPU verified the documents and assessed the results of the two pairs' health tests. This was announced by KPU Chairperson Arief Budiman in a press conference at the General Election Commission office in Jakarta on Thursday. The result of the KPU plenary meeting of the Republic of Indonesia stipulated that two candidate pairs who had registered at the KPU, namely Joko Widodo and Professor Dr. Hes Ma'ruf Amin and Prabowo Subianto Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, were declared eligible as participants in the presidential election and vice presidential election in 2019. Jokowi Ma'ruf Amin's pair was promoted by the PDIP, the Golkar Party, the National Awakening Party, Nasdem Party, the United Development Party, and the Hanura Party, while the Prabowo-Sandiaga pair was supported by the Gerindra Party, the Democratic Party, the National Mandate Party, and the Prosperous Justice Party. On the same day, the General Election Commission announced the appointment of 7,968 legislative candidates. This number consists of 4,774 male candidates and 3,194 female candidates. The KPU also announced 807 candidates for the Regional Representative Council individual candidates. According to the General Election Commission Chairperson Arief Budiman, the House legislative candidates. The legislative candidates come from 16 national political parties that have submitted the names of candidates on July 4 to 17. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The World Bank has predicted Indonesia's economic growth to reach 5.2% throughout 2018, which is relatively the same as the government's projection of 5.14 to 5.21%. World Bank Director for Indonesia and Timor-Leste Rodrigo A. Chavez stated at the launch of the Indonesian Economic Quarterly Report in Jakarta on Thursday that economic growth is estimated at 5.2% in this year and in 2019 and gradually increases to 5.3% by 2020. According to the World Bank, stronger domestic demand in Indonesia is expected to continue to be a driver of economic growth. Meanwhile, private consumption is predicted to continue due to stable inflation, a strong labor market, and also a decline in loan interest rates. Government spending is also projected to strengthen, where revenue growth provides space, both for fiscal consolidation and additional spending. In terms of inflation, the World Bank estimated that inflation in Indonesia will reach 3.4% in 2018 and 3.7% in 2019. For the current account balance, it is predicted to experience a deficit of 2.4% of GDP in 2018 and a 2.3% deficit next year. While in terms of the government budget deficit, the World Bank has predicted the budget deficit to reach 2.1% this year and 1.8% in 2019. The World Bank's projections have taken into account the ongoing normalization of U.S. monetary policy and also the impact of volatility
and also the impact of volatility in developing countries.
Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Dharmendra Nasution has scrutinized the rice production forecast by the Agriculture Ministry as often missing the target. He said it was the Agriculture Ministry that has the authority to issue the rice production data. Accurate data related to the rice production forecast is important as it affects the government's policy on rice imports. Nasution scrutinized the rice production forecast for 13.7 million tons in the first quarter of this year, consisting of 2.5 million tons in January, 4.7 million tons in February, and 6.8 million tons since March. However, when he held a coordination meeting on March 19, he disclosed that the medium and premium class rice stocks stood at only 590,000 tons, falling short of the stocks of 903,000 tons as of January 15. He added the rice stocks are not too large, as average monthly rice consumption stands at 2.4 million tons. Therefore, Nasution held another coordination meeting on March 28, as the harvest time would end soon. At the meeting, the government decided to import 1 million tons of rice, bringing the total rice imports to 2 million tons for the entire year.
The Ministry of Social Affairs will collaborate with the National Indonesian National Welfare Council DNIKS to build entrepreneurship from the grassroots level based on the Industrial Revolution 4.0 in order to build social welfare. Social Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said in Jakarta on Thursday, the Ministry of Social Affairs and the NIKS will focus more on improving and building entrepreneurships at the grassroots level. The minister stated this while opening the National Social Welfare Conference, the 10th and national meeting of the NIKS 2018 in Balai Agung City Hall of Jakarta, adding that entrepreneurship should not be outdated but must adapt to the existing dynamics. The minister noted that it was the time to prepare national cadres at the grassroots level and encourage them as the subject of development. Meanwhile, National Indonesian National Welfare Council Chairperson Tantio Aji Sudarmono remarked that the social problems faced by the NIKS were related to the quality of human resources capital. He explained that the mindset of social workers must also be changed and they must no longer only seek donations. In addition, there must be an effort from the millennial young generation to participate in social activities. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on Indonesia, Malaysia and the Philippines joint operations. The Indonesian government urges the Malaysian and Philippine governments to ensure the security of Indonesian citizens at the borders of the two countries. This insistence was due to the hostage taking of two Indonesian fishermen in Sabah waters a few days ago. They were kidnapped while working on a Malaysian flag fishing vessel in Sabah waters, Malaysia. The kidnapping and hostage taking were a sign that the safety and security of Indonesian citizens in both countries, especially in the territorial waters, need attention. For this reason, tripartite cooperation between Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines in maintaining the security of their citizens in border areas must continue to be improved. If necessary, it can also involve Singapore and other ASEAN member countries. Previously, three Indonesians from Selayar and Bulukumba, South Sulawesi, were taken hostage by the Abu Sayyaf group in the southern Philippines. All three could be released and handed over to their families now. They had been kept by the Abu Sayyaf group in January 2017 and were finally saved thanks to bilateral cooperation that has been built for a long time. Responding to the latest kidnapping case, the President of the Philippines encouraged the establishment of a joint operation with Indonesia and Malaysia and not just a joint patrol. So far, these joint patrols intended to make pirates or kidnappers afraid were no longer effective. especially in preventing the occurrence of piracy or kidnapping cases in the territorial waters. For this reason, a tripartite joint operation with adequate strength and equipment needs to be carried out regularly to minimize similar incidents. That was commentary from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past, as recorded in history. We start from a tragedy which occurred on September 21, 1939. The Romanian Prime Minister Armand Calisiu was killed in Bucharest by pro-Nazi members from the Iron Guard. Armand Calisiu was a Romanian economist and politician. He entered parliament in 1926 as a member of the Peasant Party. After the Farmers' Party joined the Romanian National Party to form the National Farmers' Party, he held a number of positions, such as the governor in the province of Argeș. Calisiu split from his party due to an agreement with the non-guard in 1937 and was released during his time as Minister of the Interior during the Octavian Goga. The Iron Guard leader was killed in prison when Calisiu still served as Minister of Home Affairs. In March 1939, King Carol II appointed him as Prime Minister but was killed by members of the Iron Guard 6 months later. Next turn, a historical story which occurred on September 21, 1964, Malta gains its independence from Britain. The Republic of Malta is an island nation in southern Europe. Malta consists of 5 islands, 3 of which are inhabited in the middle of the Mediterranean. Its strategic location has caused Malta to be colonized by various rulers for centuries. Malta is known as a tourism destination, especially for Europeans. Since 1993, Malta has been divided into 68 city councils. On September 21, 1964, Malta won its independence from the United Kingdom. We end with an incident of earthquake in Taiwan, which occurred on September 21, 1999. On September 21, 1999, Qiqi, Nantou, Taiwan was rocked by a severe earthquake, measuring 7.3 on the Richter scale. This earthquake caused the death of more than 2,300 people and the biggest material loss in Taiwan's history. As a result of the earthquake, dozens of houses and other buildings collapsed. However, in the Wufeng area, not all buildings collapsed. One of them is Kwang Fu School. To commemorate the earthquake tragedy, Kwang Fu School was made an earthquake museum in Taiwan called the 121 Earthquake Museum of Taiwan. Another earthquake museum is the Wufeng Earthquake Museum, which was firstly opened on February 13, 2001. The museum is also better known as the Museum in Memory of the Earthquake. In the museum, visitors can see the ruins of the building due to the 1999 earthquake while learning about the earthquake. Listener, that was today's segment of Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll bring you a topic about Indonesia, the Czech Republic, explore investment cooperation. The Indonesian and Czech governments are exploring opportunities for cooperation to increase investment and export, to strengthen the manufacturing structure, and improving the national trade balance. Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto, in his release in Jakarta on Tuesday, September 18, hoped the Czech's support in an effort to accelerate the negotiation of a comprehensive economic partnership agreement, or CEPA, with the European Union. Minister Erlangga Hartarto said this after he met with the Czech Republic Senate Chairman Milan Štech at the Ministry of Industry Jakarta recently. Minister Erlangga believes that if the comprehensive bilateral partnership framework is established, it will increase Indonesia's export of significant products to the Czech Republic. He explained, some Indonesian potential manufacturing products have penetrated the Czech market, including textiles and clothes, footwear, wood-based furniture, and pulp and paper. Minister Erlangga emphasized that the Indonesian government is also trying to attract Czech investors to invest in Indonesia in the rubber processing industry sector. This is in line with Indonesia's potential, which is included in the ranks of the world's largest crumb rubber producers. While the Czech Republic has a rubber processing industry that is quite competitive, such as tire factory, in addition, Indonesia has a railroad industry that has been able to produce various components and railway infrastructures. For example, rolling stock, rail tracks, and signaling systems. This becomes an opportunity the two countries' collaboration for bilateral transfer technology. Indonesia can be used as the basis for the development of the railroad industry. A number of countries such as Australia, Bangladesh, the Philippines, Malaysia, Thailand, and Sri Lanka have ordered and imported trains from Indonesia. On the same occasion, the chairman of the Czech Republic Senate Milan Štech explained that the main purpose of his visit to Jakarta was to strengthen relations and increase business opportunities and investment in Indonesia, especially in the field of infrastructure and energy. He explained that his party has 15,000 entrepreneurs as members of the Chamber of Commerce. According to Štech, the Czech Republic has several superior manufacturing sectors in the global arena, such as the automotive, aircraft, and logistic industries. He also has produced sophisticated trains with 200 km per hour speeds with affordable prices. According to Milan Štech, the Czech Republic also has medical and pharmaceutical components and hydroenergy industries. The Czech Republic has applied advanced technology in the field of hydroenergy, which has been exported. During his visit to Indonesia, the chairman of the Czech Senate, Milan Štech, also met chairman of Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Zulkifli Hasan. Zulkifli Hasan believes that the visit of Milan Štech will strengthen bilateral relations, not only inter-parliament relations, but also between government and people. That was today's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Donald Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has signed a presidential regulation number 85 of 2018 concerning the safety and security of prospective presidential and vice presidential candidates in the implementation of general elections. President Joko Widodo is targeting to distribute 3 million hectares of land to the community through this year's social forestry activities. The Coalition of Indonesian Civil Society Organizations urged the government to utilize Indonesia's position as non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council to help put an end to the humanitarian crisis against Rohingya people in Myanmar. Indonesian General Election Commission has appointed Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin and Prabowo Subianto Sandiaga Uno as presidential candidate pairs competing in the 2019 presidential election. The World Bank has predicted Indonesia's economic growth to reach 5.2% throughout 2018, which is relatively the same as the government's projection of 5.14% to 5.21%. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution has scrutinized the rice production forecast by the Agriculture Ministry as often missing the target. The Ministry of Social Affairs will collaborate with the National Indonesian National Welfare Council to build entrepreneurship from the grassroots level based on the Industrial Revolution 4.0 in order to build social welfare. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Jenang Suran from Solo, Central Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, in Solo on September 10, 2018 afternoon, a group of people wore traditional dress walk around three-window antique market in Solo. They walk silently. After going around the market for three times, the group returned to the yard and held mass prayer there. Then a serving of Jenang Suran or Jenang Suro was given to traders and visitors of the market. This activity is usually held to welcome the first Suro or Muharram in Islamic calendar. Listeners, Jenang Suran or Jenang Suro is a special culinary. The porridge-like cuisine is only made and served in the month of Suro. Bubur Suro or Suro porridge is made of rice, coconut milk, salt, ginger, and lemongrass. It tastes savory and spicy. The porridge is sprinkled with grapefruit and grains of pomegranates, as well as seven types of nuts, namely peanuts, cashews, green beans, soybeans, kidney beans, tholo beans, and bogor nut. These nuts are partially fried, and some are boiled, then added with slices of cucumber and basil leaves. Listeners, there should be sprinkled seven types of nut on the top of porridge. This has its own meaning. Seven is a symbol of a number of days in a week. The meaning, we must have willingness and courage in every action we do, based on the clean and right intention. When the culinary is served in the ritual, Jenang Suro is also completed with dishes, namely opor ayam or chicken braised in coconut milk, sambal goreng or fried chili sauce, with squash of spicy soup. This mixture makes the suro porridge rich in nutrients. Listener, in welcoming ritual of one suro as an uba rampe or ritual offerings, the suro porridge is not served alone. There is also serving of betel or kembar mayang and a basket of fruits. It is called kembar mayang because it consists of two flower vases. Each vase contains 7 buds red roses, 7 buds of white roses, 7 bundles of jasmine, and 7 sheets of pandan leaves. The betel symbolizes the origin and respect or remembrance of parents and ancestors. Jenang Suro is actually quite popular for decades ago. There are many people who make the culinary in the month of Suro and distribute it to neighbors and relatives. Unfortunately, the tradition of making jenang suran now almost loses. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you with another interesting topic on the next Indonesian Wonder.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener of the Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miscellany with the topic National Seminar of Indonesian Civil Society for SDGs. Stay tuned with us in www.voinews.id. Listener, for more than 3 years, Indonesia has affirmed and adopted Sustainable Development Goals or SDGs since the UN General Assembly took place in September 2015. Indonesia has a strong legal framework and commitment to ensure the success of SDGs implementation. At the regional level, the regional government commitment to implement SDGs by involving various parties, including civil society, is also an important achievement. With a commitment accompanied by a strong legal and institutional basis, the effort to implement and achieve the SDGs are not necessarily easy. Indonesia needs a good implementation strategy and consolidates all related parties. Thus, civil society organizations such as INFID, Oxfam, and the Indonesian Women's Coalition held an SDGs National Seminar in Jakarta on Thursday, September 20, 2018. INFID's Program Officer for SDGs, Yolandri Simanjuntak, said the government's work in implementing SDGs needs to be appreciated, but this is still a need for SDGs roadmaps to facilitate all parties in implementing the Sustainable Development Goals.
Nah, tujuan umumnya memang sebagai forum bagi seluruh pihak tadi.
This year, the seminar will especially discuss governance and accountability for implementing SDGs. According to Yolandri, this is still a challenge in implementing SDGs in Indonesia.
Nah, tak kalah penting memang adalah untuk memperkuat konsolidasi masyarakat kelompok tadi ya untuk pelaksanaan dan pencapaian SDGs.
At this seminar, there will be 2 plenary discussions and 4 parallel discussions. The themes discussed include the direction of policy for implementing SDGs in Indonesia, localizing SDGs and funding and financing of SDGs. In this activity, the Deputy Officer of the Presidential Staff, Yanuar Nugroho, will also launch SDGs digital platform. This platform is to share information, data, and experience related to the implementation of SDGs in Indonesia. The seminar will open with remarks from European Union representatives and key speaker, Minister of National Development Planning, Bambang Brojonegoro. This seminar will produce recommendation documents to strengthen SDGs implementation at the national level. Well, listeners, that was Miscellany for today with the topic National Seminar of Indonesian Civil Society for SDGs. We will meet again with another interesting topics.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to some songs from Betawi. To initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to Kicir Kicir. Stay with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through live streaming at www.voinews.id or application RRI Play. You have just listened to the first song entitled Kicir Kicir sung by Henny Purwonegoro. This song is popular among Betawi people, the native of Jakarta. The song lyrics of Kicir Kicir is similar like poem. At the first and second lyric, it contains introduction, and the third and fourth one is the content. The song, whose composer is unknown, tells about someone who is entertaining himself or herself and other people on the same occasion. The original song in Betawi language has a message that we as human beings should live happy life in the world, whatever happens. Listeners, let's listen to Gado Gado Jakarta. Listeners, you have just listened to the second song entitled Gado Gado Jakarta, sung by Fari Firiana. The song tells about typical food, namely Gado Gado. Gado Gado is Indonesian salad. In its lyric, the food is
said as the cuisine of common people. Because its price is cheap and its content is mixture of food ingredients which can be found in daily life. The next song we will play is Jali Jali, sung by Farid Harja and Lucky Reza. The song is popular not only among Betawi people but also some people overseas. The origin of the creation of the song is believed to be developed by Jakarta Chinese descent through traditional rhythm of Gambang Kromong. The song is stick on Betawi culture. Jali Jali is a plant which is usually planted by Betawi people at their garden. Since child's period, Betawi people have been familiar with Jali Jali fruit. Children make the fruit as bullet of weapon toy which is made from bamboo and rubber bracelet. Meanwhile, Betawi women usually cook Jali Jali to be porridge called Jali Porridge. While female teenagers played Jali Jali as curtain for door of their room. Different with Betawi clerics, they make Jali Jali as tasbih for zikir. Zikir is to praise the God, Allah.
Tiada yang larang. Palinglah enak si orang hujan sayang, sayang, sayang. Kemana pergi, kemana pergi, tiada yang larang.
Kucing kurus jalilah jali dari Cikini sayang, jalilah jali, jalilah jali sampai di sini.
Listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Gambang Kombinasi, sung by Teti S. Thank you for listening.
Pulang kerja, lantaran capek habis bulan lantas habis duit buat bayar barang kredit pelan-pelan jalan ngelamun ingat makan iris ketimbun kantong kosong di amplop nihil begitu nasib pegawai kecil iris ketimbun di kolong meja iris sami pulang kerja ni sebegini ni tu sebegitu tu aduh dengku elailo
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.